Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY 2024 earnings conference call of Subex Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now hand the conference over to Mr. G.V. Krishnakant. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon to everyone who have joined the earnings call for the quarter and year ended March 31st, 2024. Now I'd like to introduce the members of the management who are present for this call. Along with me, I have Ms. Nisha Dutt, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Sumit Kumar, Chief Financial Officer of the company. I would like to start the conference by going through the Safe Harbor clause. Certain statements in this call concerning our future growth prospects are forward-looking statements, which involve a number of risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those in such forward-looking statements. The risks and uncertainties relating to these statements include, but not limited to, fluctuations in earnings, our ability to successfully integrate acquisitions, competition in our area of business, client concentration, liability for damages in our contracts, withdrawal of tax incentives, political instability, unauthorized use of our intellectual property, and general economic conditions affecting our industry. So with this, I hand over the call to Ms. Nisha Dutt to take it forward.
Thank you, G.V.K. Good afternoon, everyone, and a warm welcome to Subex's investor call. As you all know, we have concluded the financial year 2024, and this actually, incidentally, also marks my 1 year at Subex. I came in with a vision to get Subex on a growth path and transform it to a telco AI-first company. And I wanted to do a quick retrospective today, and I'd say that when I came in, we were in the midst of a tough year, and we had to get the transformation journey quickly. All of last year has been focused on growth, but I wanted to make sure that we preserve our bottom line as well. In terms of growth, I've been able to deliver 11.1% year-on-year growth, which incidentally is the highest growth in the last decade. Actually, if you go back and look, maybe in the last 15 years or so. Similar growth in Subex was last delivered when we had promoters at the helm of Subex. Bottom line focus is also back, I would say, with EBITDA being positive for Q3 and Q4. This also reinforces somewhere my faith in our journey and vision of connected experiences and AI, and I believe that we are overall on the right track. During the year, I have also met several customers in person at events like DTW, MWC, and one of the most heartening things is to see telcos are embracing technologies of AI and GenAI. We are almost believe that we are witnessing history in making, with what was once just a mere concept is now finding acceptance in real use cases for telcos. We have also, in line with that, we have also transformed our portfolio in the last year to be a part of this journey. And we are making necessary investments to ensure that we are well positioned to capitalize on this. And turning quickly to the business update, as I mentioned in our previous call, I'll update you. Usually I update you on 3 dimensions of growth, efficiency, and talent. So in terms of growth, we have achieved consistent quarter-on-quarter growth. I would say that this is a positive trend. The curve can be much sharper, I agree, but I think you would agree that the trend itself is positive right now. And we have had some strategic tier one wins in quarter four, which also includes significant AI components. So we will continue to focus on growth as we speak. And shifting gears to the next update on efficiency, in addition to top-line growth, we are also focused on cost, and we turned EBITDA positive. For Q3, Q4, we have been EBITDA positive, and we have also managed to keep our employee cost under control. But now you must have noticed that management has carried out a routine annual impairment exercise in respect to carrying goodwill, and we have made an impairment provision of 148 crores. This is a part of our commitment to prudent accounting and high governance. This is a non-cash item, as you all know, and I want to assure everyone here that while we have taken the impairment, we see it in the light that we have actually delivered growth and our positive PBT of 14 million for the quarter. And I want to emphasize that financial health of the company is actually good with respect to cash balances being above 100 crores right now. The reason why we made this call is because we are trying to make significant investments required in our core portfolio to keep pace with fast-moving technology transformations. Now let's just talk about talent, the third pillar of our update. We continue to retain and nurture our key talent, but we find ourselves in tough talent market. So we are being responsive in retaining key talent, but I will admit that, you know, Bangalore is a tough talent market. We have also arrested attrition successfully last year. So we are at, you know, what is at par with the industry right now. And in addition to revamping the leadership, we are also focusing on having a strong mid-level management. That usually, as you would agree, is, you know, the backbone of any company. So those are the business updates. I'll quickly cover the financial results. Performance highlights for the quarter that ended on March 31st, 2024, compared to the previous quarter that ended on December 31st, 2023. Revenue for the quarter stood at 833 million INR as against 818 million INR for the quarter that ended on December 31st. This is growth of 2%. EBITDA for the quarter stood at 31 million, as against 6 million for the previous quarter. This is EBITDA growth of about 3% quarter on quarter. Profit before tax and exceptional items for the quarter are at 14 million INR, as against 24 million negative, you know, for the quarter that ended on December 31st. But if you look at normalized PBT, this is positive for this quarter. Profit after tax, including exceptional items for the quarter, stood at negative 86 million INR as against negative 49 million INR for the quarter that ended on December 31st. And performance highlights for the year that ended on March 31st compared to the year that ended on March 31st, 2023. The revenue for the year on year ended at 3097 million, that's 309 crores, as against INR 2787 million for the year that ended on March 31st, 2023. This is the growth that I was speaking about. This is 11.1%. This is the highest ever growth in a decade. EBITDA for the year is at minus 157 million INR, as against minus 307 million INR for the year that ended on March 31st, 2023. Profit before tax and exceptional items for the quarter at INR negative 272 million as against INR negative 391 million for the year that ended on March 31, 2023. And profit after tax, including exceptional items for the year ended March 31st, 2024 is at INR minus 438 million as against minus 1512 million for the year that ended on March 31, 2023. As you would see that overall, the trajectory is right and we are on the path to recovery here. But I'll stop there and I know I want to give more time to Q&A in this call. So thank you for your constant support and I'll be happy to take your questions and comments at this point.
Thank you, ma'am. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. First question comes from Mahesh Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Nisha, when you took over last year, you have been talking about GenAI. So after four quarters, can you explain with at least two use cases where you have got the customers for GenAI and how you are helping them to improve their performance? That is first question. Second question, the impairment has resulted into a loss of 145 crore. Are you going to write off that from the share capital reserve? That is second question. Third question is, how confident you are to continue 10% plus growth for the next year and so? These are the three questions.
Okay. Thank you, Mahesh. So coming to your first question on GenAI, there are a bunch of use cases that we have been working with our clients on, but if I were to take, like you asked for two use cases, the first one would be the contract assurance use case, which is pretty much, you know, as you know, telcos, you know, engage in, I would say, thousands and thousands of contracts, right, with their suppliers, with people. And what happens is the subscribers and with their, you know, other partners, enterprise partners. So what happens is that they need to understand that, you know, the contracts are oftentimes, the contract terms fall by the wayside of, you know, the actual service being provided. So what we are doing is we have actually come up with a service, which is contract assurance. Now, contract assurance itself is not a new concept, but our contract assurance is actually in LLM, actually. It's the large language model that we have used here, where we reconcile contracts with invoices. So this is one use case that has proven, you know, extremely useful to us. The second one is, of course, handset, right? Handset short. As you can imagine, handsets are a big spend item for telcos globally, more so in West, where you actually almost buy a plan and the handset comes free. So we see a lot of fraud actually in handset. Our fraud in handset is one of the, you know, I would say one of the biggest fraud cases that there is. So how do we help them making sure that they don't sell the handsets to the wrong people and frauds don't happen? So that's another Gen AI use case that we have actually manifested for telcos, and we are working with at least two telcos on this. There are other use cases around call center data, call centers as well. So people usually call, right, as you can imagine, on when you get your invoices, sometimes invoices are not correct. So people call a lot of, you know, telco call centers and want their invoices and all that corrected. So for one of the large telcos, when we did analysis, we saw that almost 11 million calls come in a month or so. So we have also done, Gen AI, LLM there. There actually we have used small language model, SLM, where we have been able to empower the call center agent to field the question even before it comes. So we are able to tell that a call is going to land because, you know, there has been a billing discrepancy. And this we are actually able to do for a telco today. So across telcos, we are seeing that fraud has actually become a very, very big area today. And all the AI use cases, even for us, because we are anyways a revenue assurance and fraud player, we are seeing that fraud use cases for us that are landing on our table, at least as 2x, a lot of it has to do with fraud using AI, you know. So, and we are using Gen AI to make sure that, you know, it's more empowering to not just, you know, I would say not just to executives, but to, you know, even a call center agent who can field a call very easily. There is SIMBOX fraud, there is data fraud. So there is a lot of fraud use cases that we are solving using Gen AI. So excellent question. I'm kind of glad that I got to talk about it a little bit because oftentimes it sounds like, you know, it's very, the concept is there, but we don't know what we are doing with it. But I assure you that, you know, there are real use cases that are being applied by telcos. In fact, some of the telcos that we work with, when we go and talk to them these days, they straight away ask us that, can you get us not AI productivity, can you get a Gen AI connectivity? It's actually that focused these days. So in that sense, I'm glad that, you know, we have been able to, actually deploy use cases. So that was the first
question. Are already having paid customer for this Gen AI?
Yes, we do.
And this handset fraud, is it a paid customer?
Yes, it is. Everything that I spoke about, none of this is free. It is all, you know, these are all POCs, but these are all paid POCs. Is not free.
Okay, you are doing POC. And regarding large language model, are you also working on large action model which will complement this LLM?
You mean the next best action and things like that?
Yes, we are.
Yeah. It goes in conjunction, right? Only analysis is not enough. You have to be able to tell people what is the next best action that you have to take on that.
Yeah.
So we use LLMs to orchestrate. And we give the NDA recommendation. So absolutely.
So these all are open source LLM or it is proprietary LLM of Sukex?
So what happens? No, so there are no LLMs that we can develop. What happens is these are open source LLMs, but these are fine-tuned or trained to telco data, right? So like I like to give an example that if you just ask a LLM today on roaming, that LLM does not understand roaming in context of telco, right? Roaming is everything. Roaming could be you roaming somewhere, you know. So what happens is that you use the LLMs that are already there and then you train them to that telco context, the data. So we understand telco data and we train them on that data. So LLM is open source, but context is provided by us. It's something like that, yeah.
Okay.
So that was the first part of your question. The second part of your question was on impairment, yes? Yes, you're right. It will be taken out of our reserve. You're correct about that. And the third question, my apologies, you had a third question there.
Third question, this year we have 11% year-on-year growth.
The growth, yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, after spending 1 year in the company, what is your gut feel that next year we will cross 15% or around 20%, 15 to 20%?
Right, internally, you know, again, you know, it's forward-looking, so I don't want to provide specific numbers.
No, you might have given some target
internally confidence. Exactly. I mean, my own target is I've been telling internally people that this has to be a breakout year for us. In fact, this is what I've been saying, that, you know, we have to buck the trend. We can't keep at the, you know, level that we have been. This needs to be the breakout year where we need to really break out our growth. And so, like I was saying, the shape of the curve, right? While the curve is upward moving, I want to make it sharper for sure. And I'm with you, right? I'm with investors on that. I understand, you know, what is the expectation.
This is what I have seen in the Subex last 6-7 years. Never they have given any target, either internal or external
no,
to the
no,
investors.
No, with all due respect to Vinod Rao, Mahesh, that would not be the case.
And
no,
there was
no,
not at all any growth in the company.
No, Mahesh, I understand where you're coming from. I completely empathize where you're coming from. Because obviously, you know, when you don't see growth, you feel that, you know, team is not, you know, people are not oriented, growth oriented internally. But I can assure you, you know, with all due respect to Vinod also used to, you know, have targets. I mean, a company cannot work without targets internally. And this year, I can definitely tell you that we have set ourselves very stiff targets, because I personally want to make sure that, you know, this happens to be almost a breakout year, or where people can very visibly see the growth. So that definitely is an internal target that all the teams are driving towards. I'm driving towards it. Teams are absolutely aligned on this. So I can assure you, that could not be the case. And targets have been set because we are well within 1 month. Your 1 month is already out in the new year. Yeah.
Okay, I will join the queue for next question. Okay, thank you.
Sure, thank you. Thank you, Mahesh.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. I repeat, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Next question comes from Eral Nandu from Kalpurush Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Just wanted to understand one clarification you gave. The write-off of one of the subsidiaries is just now as a impairment. Whether do we expect some reversal of that in near or a future year, or it kind of completely needs to be taken with a loss in a mind.
I will ask Sumit also to weigh in, the CFO, but this is actually a routine item that happens when you carry goodwill, right? So what happens is that we do routinely impairment assessment of the goodwill. And this year we decided to take some impairment. So usually when we take impairment, I don't think there is a, you know, reversal of this, but what we are trying to see is that growth drivers are in place. The growth has been delivered. PBT is actually positive if you look at it, you know, without the impairment. This is an exceptional item. We'll treat it as such. And we move forward from here. Sumit, do you have anything to add here?
Yeah, Nisha, same thing. Just to add on, there are two goodwill sitting. One is into the standalone books and another is into the consolidated books. So this asset was when the goodwill to the tune of pre-write-off or pre-impairment, the goodwill is sitting in the books of 344 crores. And this is a yearly impairment exercise, which is in order to do, you need to keep testing the intangibles for their effective use of that. So this year, there's a charge of close to 148 crores has happened, which is in the console books, the value of the goodwill is reduced from 344 now to 196. And the corresponding impact, because the same amount is sitting through an intercompany through a standalone, so same is when correspondent impact is there. So I'm just repeating to the first question which the earlier investor has asked. As a treatment, the asset will reduce and effectively this amount will be taken out from the other equity. So that is the accounting treatment, and this is the yearly impairment exercise which the accounting standards do it in order to recognize any sort of intangibles in the books. Yeah, Nisha.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Mahesh Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Anisha, in the September quarter conference call, I asked you a question about software-defined vehicle and providing IoT security to that. That time you told you will discuss internally and get back in the next call. So now, is Subex going to continue with the IoT security and target software-defined vehicles?
I just want to clarify a little bit. What we do in Subex, under secure is OT. We actually don't focus on IoT. So we do industrial security, actually. So we don't do IoT per se. So I just wanted to clarify that, Mahesh. I think maybe I did clarify last time as well. But in terms of software-defined vehicles, honestly, given the challenges in front of us, where I am mentally at least, where we are as teams is to see if we can double down on telcos. And if you look at automotive, right, it's actually a very complex, it's a complex beast actually, and building hardware to get into automotive would require investments that might be, beyond, I would say, the reserves we have currently. So what I'm thinking is that, we should double down on telco, because the kind of growth that we are looking for right now, right, telcos are growing at their scale, right, at multi-billion dollars, they are growing at 3-5%. So there is ample headroom for us to grow there. So getting to a new segment like automotive would require, very aggressive investments for us. So that's a call that I have sort of, parked it for now. But this is where, I don't know if it answers your question, but yeah, I think we'll have to reevaluate it once we are, I feel a little bit more stable, on the growth and the bottom line. Once we start blocking this for a few more quarters, then I think we'll be willing to take some more bets which are a little bit more, risky. Right now, I think the appetite to invest is more on the core.
So this industrial IoT, what you are mentioning, is that business still you are going to push, or that will take a backstage?
No, so that business actually already is doing some business, but it's not in telcos. But again, considering that we launched, Setrio and IDC back in, I would say, almost 4 or 5 years ago, my expectations on those businesses is completely different right now, in the sense that I want to see a growth rate which is commensurate, with the money or, the capital that we have put into the business. So we are pushing those businesses very hard, but, if we have to make some calls appropriately, we'll make those calls as a manager. That's where I am, because I feel that right now we really need to double down on core. But, those businesses continue to do business, actually. It's not automotive, though they are working in utilities. Actually, today, where they are present is utilities, not telco. But again, we have to make those calls depending on, what their burn is and how much money do I have for investment. After all, I feel that one of the key jobs that I have is prudent capital allocation, right? So capital allocation being my key job, I want to make sure that I allocate capital which will give me a lot more return. So everything is viewed in my lens, its lens. I view every investment call with that, right, to make sure that IRR is, way more than my back. My cost of capital has to be very well adequately covered. So that's the lens or, that's the metric of investment in any business that I do, internally or externally. So I think the ask from those businesses is great, very high, in my opinion, this year, and I hope that they'll deliver. Otherwise, we'll make some calls. That's all I can say at this point.
That business was actually routed through telcos only in the past.
It was. But today, if you look at their, footprint, it's entirely, it's actually 100% non-telco. So.
Okay.
So that's the, it's 100% non-telco.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mahesh.
Thank you. Next question comes from Rajkumar Oja, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
My question is, in FY23, we had 43 customers as far as ID Central is concerned and 21 customers as far as security is concerned. How many customers we have added in this current year?
I'm sorry, Raj, can I get back to you? I'll take this question on note and I will ensure that we absolutely get back to you. IDC, I think we have around maybe 125 or so. I can come back to you with the right number, but I think it's around 125. Setrio, I am not entirely sure, but please, I've made a note of this. I will certainly, make sure to get back to you.
Because, you see, every quarter we are winning two or three cases. But the quantum of growth that it should show It is not there. It is not happening, or it is not being reported. I can put it that way.
No, no. So one is that I can assure you that even more than 2 or 3 every quarter, the ones we report are generally, the ones that we want to report, in the sense that we feel that it's a interesting geography, it's an interesting project, the size, or, you know, it has a good AI component. So there are other, factors in which we end up reporting. So I can tell you that, first of all, what we report is not equal to what we win, right? We win much more than what we report. The second one is, of course, as you know, that we are on this SaaS model, right? So we are on subscription business model. So what happens is that when you win a contract, Sumit has also explained in past, and you can weigh in here. But typically when you win a contract, we have a setup. We recognize some amount of license immediately. But after that, what happens is that we have to wait for the implementation of the project. And that's when the subscription revenue start kicking in, right? So moving into a subscription model delays the revenue a little bit. So although you are seeing the wins, the actual, I would say, the impact of it is few quarters down the line. Because once the implementation in that account is done, that's when the subscription revenue starts coming into us. And that's when you will see the MRR growing, right? So that's why win is not equal to immediate uptake in the revenues. But win definitely assures us that few quarters down, your revenue is now locked. You already know that some amount of baseline has been created with everything. So that's how the, SaaS model works. So you may not be seeing it immediately, but I can tell you that, a few quarters down, the moment it gets implemented, those revenues start kicking in. So that's how it works.
You had said that ID Central and the secretary is concerned. You said that you are going to try this product in different geographies, and we have still confined ourselves into Middle East, India and Africa.
No, not at all. Sectrio, in fact, some of the biggest contracts we have are in Middle East and in the, Kala region. That's, more Mexico and those regions. So
yeah.
It's actually non-India. So we have India, but the two larger contracts are actually non-India contracts. And IDC also has done a lot of business in India, but it has also done some business in Africa, actually. So that's like, I also, IDC, I just wanted to correct, actually. I think it's, I believe that it's 50. 50 is the number of the clients that we have added this year. But like I said, I will definitely get back to you and clarify these numbers.
Okay.
I don't have them handy right now. My apologies.
What about Suvias Account Aggregator? What is the progress?
So we have an in-principle approval. We don't have the license yet. So what that requires is for us to identify a business case and make investments in the infrastructure this year. And once we can show investments in the infrastructure, then we can go and apply for the full, the full license. So what we are doing is we have some use cases that have been identified. We are doing the business.
Okay. Hello? Hello?
In sense of, that does it make sense for us, and, what would be the investment versus the return, like I was saying, right? If I make an investment, I want to make sure that I have some view of how I'll recoup that. So we are making those calls internally right now. So where we are, we don't have the license yet. We have just the in-principle.
In the presentation deck, you had mentioned that you are going to introduce some new product. Can you give any hint?
We do actually, we have introduced some new products. So for instance, if I were to give you an example, we already do, we have done, to the Mahesh's earlier question on Gen AI, right? So we have something called AI agents right now. So AI agents are people, it's almost like it's a product that sits on, alongside a fraud management solution, where it can go and investigate a fraud entirely for someone. So AI agents is, for instance, one of those products. The second one would be on billing, right? We have an interconnect wholesale billing solution. We have actually added an enterprise billing solution as well to our portfolio. So there are new products, and it's not just one or two. Actually, we have added almost 4 or 5 products right now.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I request the participants to restrict with 2 questions in the initial round and join back the queue for more questions. Next question comes from Ravikant Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ma'am. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Thank you.
Ma'am, just a small update. that Mr. Vinod never shared any updates on growth rates and targeted profitability. I'm significantly invested in Subex and I attend every con call, but I'm happy being a silent audience because most of the queries get answered. But the only question till date I have asked is in the last con call, the last question in the last con call that Mr. Vinod attended, and it was precisely the same question, but he did not answer. Internally he must have definitely had targets, but he was always very reluctant to share any kind of numbers in the con call, and which was basically, practically defeated the purpose of conducting these con calls, because investors would never get any idea what the company is targeting at. And this was my grievance, which I had shared with him as well. Ma'am, coming back to my question, ma'am, I just wanted you to throw more color on the strategy behind this account aggregator license. Is the company looking at pivoting into fintech space? And with once granted, what kind of opportunities do you see going forward, and can it help Subex transform into the offerings of Subex into a more diverse nature, since fintech has a much larger landscape as compared to the businesses you are already operating in, which are almost saturated, and you are almost working with almost 80% of the telcos across the globe. That is my question, ma'am.
Okay, so first of all, I'm glad actually you chose to kind of speak on the call today. So it's always good to get questions, because you know that also tells me what is it that we need to focus on. But coming to your question on fintech, Ravikant, we actually already do fintech today. So our account aggregator license is not a way for us to get into fintech. We actually already do serve fintech. We do fintechs of telcos today. So we manage wallets of telcos in some of the regions. And we use, you know, AI to predict churn. We use AI to predict, you know, let's say, what will be the next bill, which customer will churn first. So mobile money, you know, assurance that transactions are correct. We actually already do a lot of work in fintech. So A is more for me, you know, to see what will be the specific use case. And again, we have to remember that when I do fintech, I do globally, right? For telcos, globally, I'm able to do fintech business. Especially, you know, with my AI and my fraud management. But A, actually, the account aggregator license restricts me to India market only. Correct. So it's only an India market license. It's not something that I can use outside. So the business case for that is going to be different, right? The business case could be, let's say that, you know, is it GST payments or is it, you know, SME payments? So we'll have to figure out. So we have quite a few, a roster of use cases that we are looking at, because the commercials have to make sense, right? At the end of the day, the A adoption, the amount of, you know, money that we can actually get vis-a-vis the investment that I'll have to make. How many years will I have to sit with the investment before it turns positive? So account aggregator doesn't necessarily give me more teeth to get into fintech. I would say that I'm already in fintech, and I'm actually expanding my portfolio as we speak in fintech.
No, ma'am,
that's assured, you know, okay. Sorry, go on.
I get that, ma'am, but the way we are in fintech right now is more in the form of support services. Are we looking at developing some kind of proprietary products which we can take it to the market and make it our USP?
Actually, we are doing the products. So it's not support, actually. What we have is we are doing
a proprietary platform,
right?
I would like to rephrase it. Right now what we are doing is more B2B. Are we looking at some kind of B2C offering, direct to consumer?
It hasn't really come to my mind, Ravikant, because I feel that Subex, you know, is a kind of, by DNA, we are B2B people. So we are the DNA of B2B.
My only concern is maximization of shareholder wealth and the kind of valuations standalone proprietary fintech firms get. Those kind of valuations are not enjoyed by support services firms. So that is where I'm coming from.
No, it's not support services. Actually, I would say the valuation driver for me in the future, the way I look at Subex, right? And this is kind of a very interesting question that you're raising. For me, the valuation driver of Subex in future, the reason why I call it, you know, the telco, you know, AI company, AI first, is because the valuation of fintech is actually not even, you know, lower than what valuation is being given to AI today. AI is going to be the valuation driver for us. And I want that to be the, if you look at, you know, the valuation that AI companies are getting is, I would say, you know, it's order of magnitude different from fintech or anything else. So for me, fintech is not so much a play. For me, making sure that we are recognized as an AI company, right? We are recognized that you have products, but these are AI-first products. That is what I think will actually, at the end of the day, you know, give us that multiple that we are looking for. You know, the EBITDA multiple that we are looking for will come from that aspect. I don't think it will come from us going into a telco or utilities or fintech, right? It's more about the product and what are you building, right? The technology will give you the multiple, and that's what I'm kind of betting on right now.
Can we have some kind of broad time frame by when we can have that EBITDA flowing in from the AI product? Broad, any ballpark figure, any broad time frame that we are looking
for? To a certain extent, it already is doing, right? It's already, it has started flowing. I'm just assuming that, you know, at least my hope is to make it, you know, a lot more stronger. Yeah. And then every year this should grow because, like I was saying, right, Ravikant, this is, I feel we are literally witnessing history in making here. There are people who are embracing it, telcos are spending on it, fintechs are spending money on it. The money is being spent on AI. In fact, the CAGR, or I would say the market size in 2027 of, you know, the pure AI spend for telco is $15 billion. It's no joke, actually. It's growing. The CAGR is growing so rapidly. So I want to make sure that we align our products and make sure that, you know, we build from there. Because fraud is anyways a very big area for all telcos, all fintechs, right? Where money is still fraud, correct? So fraud is something that we are already tackling. And I want to make sure that we become the people that globally when people think of fraud, they think of us. You know, we are the people who can solve, you know, fraud through a different means of, you know, AI and Gen AI. I actually want us to be those people. And that's where the multiple will come for shareholders, for the company itself. This is something that has been heavily on my mind as well, right? I want to make sure that, you know, you could do very, very well because in your success lies my success, actually, at the end of the day. So this is the pivot that we are trying to make. That it's not just, you know, random AI. It's AI which is very enmeshed into fraud. And I want us to be that people, right? Those people. When a telco thinks of fraud, they think of us. You know, even if they don't think of us in any other context, they have to think of us. We want to be the people who can solve fraud globally for telcos, for fintech. For every, wherever there's money, there is fraud and we are the people to solve it. Through AI and Gen AI. Actually, pretty much that is a vision clearly that I want to drive to. So that's at least, you know, how I think that we'll make it, you know, valuation better for the shareholders, actually. This will be the valuation driver, not so much the domain that you're going. The valuation driver will be technology.
Thank you so much, ma'am. Wish you all the best, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
So, and I'm hoping that you, you know, continue to support us. If you have been there for a while, please stay with us.
Ma'am, as a family, we have been there for 20 years, and as an individual, I have been for the last 5-7 years. So, and I continue, and I look forward to continue it.
I'm really grateful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question comes from Abhishek Khali, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Nisha. Am I audible?
Hi, Abhishek. You are Abhishek.
Yeah. Nisha, thanks for delivering all the numbers promise from the time you took over. Appreciate that. But that being said, you have raised the bar in terms of expectations for yourself. So what we are going to expect from you is going to be even better. So,
I hope to do it.
Yep. And I'm piggybacking on what Ms. Ravikant said. I think it's time that the management starts giving us out a guidance for us to validate where the management is or what they have said or they have promised on what they will deliver and what we have received. I mean, we cannot hide behind the numbers anymore. We will have to tell this to the investors. If you would like us to continue the journey, we have been a part of so far. So, I mean, is there a number? And I'm not going to hold you for that number this time around, but from the next quarter. Do you have the numbers that you and your team are targeting for 2025? No, and I mean, don't give me that this is a forward-looking statement and I'm not going to make a forward-looking statement. No, you will have to make the forward-looking statement because you are at the helm of the something. So, I mean, it's long due. that statement is long due as to what your numbers are going to look like in the year's time.
So one thing I can I'm very grateful that you have stuck with us on the journey, and I understand, you know, the reason why we generally don't give a forward-looking statement is only the one is, you know, it's regulatory, that we shouldn't be doing that. I also know, Abhishek, that the moment I see the number, you will hold me to it. I can definitely assure you that the growth that we are looking for, right, this is 11.1%, right? So I am saying that it's going to be double digit. It's not going to be, you know, and much more than this is what definitely internally that's what we are targeting. But when I say a breakout year, it won't be that, you know, I do incrementally better, right? Incrementally better is not what I'm looking for here. I'm trying to, when I say breakout, I truly do mean breakout, right? Where you should be able to, like I said, the shape of the curve should be very visible to you. So that's all I can say, but please hold me to it. I'm happy to be held accountable. So
okay, and
so
but the range that you have given is like from 11 to 99, and that's double digit. So what should I assume?
Now you're making me sweat when you say 99%.
No, I'm saying 11 to 99. I gave you a very broad range, the one that you gave me as well. So I'm just asking as to where.
It's going to be, Abhishek, clearly, you know, definitely the intent is to do much, much better is all I can say. And, you know, it should be visible to you quarter on quarter, right? So please give us some time. It should start becoming very visible to you, actually.
Okay, one more question. Should we expect any surprises, just like we had this impairment, right? Otherwise, you would have been in profit.
Correct.
The PAT shows that. PBT shows that, not the PAT. But my point is, are we expecting anything of this nature to come up in the next quarter? Or do you foresee something of this nature? Because, I mean, I'm going to be very brief on this, but when we launched HyperSense, there was a huge boom that we are going to, like, conquer the world. And then, we crash-landed, face down, it was like, oh, that whole model is, you know what, people are not accepting that. Do we have any of these hidden landmines that we should be aware as investors? I am pretty sure that there are none like this, but I would like to hear it from you.
Actually, see, what happens is that, even impairment, right, this was, honestly, this is more of a, you know, routine item, right? I mean, it's a non-cash item. We decided to do it because I think one is, so surprises, as a principal, if there is something you will hear from me in, our quarterly calls, but usually the things that like this are generally, I think, you know, good governance, if, you know, financial prudence. So these are calls that we make when we feel that, you know, we should just do it in interest of the company, right? As we are showing growth, we are showing top line and bottom line growth. So, you know, let's take this as a non-cash item. So these are things that we do on a routine basis. We don't do quarterly impairments and all that. It's usually an annual exercise. So from that aspect, I don't think that, you know, you would see another impairment in next quarter or something like that. You wouldn't see that, actually.
Perfect.
That's what I can tell you. Yeah.
Perfect. One question, if I may. I think probably it was quarter two or quarter one of last year when we had a contract of POC with SBI about with Secreo on 500 odd devices that we had Secreo on. Do we have any more of such POCs lined up with the PSU banks here or any local customers? And
we have local customers, not banks. We do have local customers at the back of it, but not a bank. Like I said, there are some infrastructure utilities companies that we have sold to.
Okay. And do we expect that number to grow further, or we see that we have hit the maxima there?
No. Actually, every business that we invest in has to grow, right? I mean, be it core or be it, Petrio IDC. For me, every business has to grow and has to deliver a certain number, right? Because investment, like I said, you know, it's a capital allocation thing, right? I want to make sure that what I'm, you know, if you give money to something, you're starving something on the other hand, right? You want to make sure that the one thing that's funded is doing well. So, no, there is no maxima anywhere nowhere. I think we are still aware we have a lot to cover right now. We have a lot of work to cover.
Okay, yeah. And thanks a lot again for the numbers, and I will hold you for the higher range of the double digits on the next conference call.
Thank you, Abhishek.
Thank you. Have a nice one. Bye.
Thank you. Next question comes from Sanjot Gare, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Hi, Nisha. Congratulations once again. This is the consecutive, I think it's the fifth quarter since you joined. We are seeing top-line growth. The growth is there, but the question is about the kind of deals we are winning, right? Right now, again, mm-hmm. two new customers added in this quarter. Like every quarter, we are seeing two customers getting added. So how this number, how this rate is going to be increasing? I mean, it's like how we are going to get more deals. And even the recurring revenue is again 2.4 million, which is steady for last, I think, two, three quarters. How we are seeing is this, when is it going to get increased, like the win rate as well as the recurring revenue?
Yeah. So I just wanted to kind of also set the context here. So like I said, you know, earlier also in the call, because we are announcing two deals does not mean that we win two deals only. We only announce material deals. And also we have taken feedback. I had taken your feedback from the last call. Actually, I got a lot of feedback in my Q2, Q3 calls that you guys don't announce anything. You don't tell us anything. So I thought that, you know, we should correct that and we should start announcing. So this is, you know, more an effort towards making sure that we are announcing, you know, at least big wins and the material deals. But definitely it's not to say that our win rate is 2 a quarter, right? I mean, if that were the case, then we would be in big, big trouble. Actually, the win rate is much higher than the ones we announced. So that much I can assure you. Announcements are more to just make sure that, you know, you're aware that, you know, we are winning key geographies or key contracts or, you know, tier one accounts and all that. So it's more towards keeping people informed. So that's one, right? So our win rate is, continues to be good. That's first part of your question. The second one is on the ARR. Like I said that, you know, some of the, on HyperSense, when we changed the, almost the business model or the revenue recognition to subscription, there are places or, you know, there are quite a few clients where the implementation is now done. And what that will do is that, you know, it should, now we should start getting the subscription revenue. Like I said, right, between when you sell and when you actually get the revenue for it, there is a delay in our model right now. But I think this, you know, from, you know, very soon we should start seeing those accruals because we have done some implementations already last year. So we'll start seeing the benefit of it this year. So you should start seeing that number of, you know, MRR move actually.
Sure. Thank you for that. And really, I appreciate really a good progress. That definitely some announcement have come during the quarter. So really good for progress on that. And I'm sure we'll be seeing more announcements coming in coming quarters. On the business side, are we seeing that generally the Q1 is slower and then slowly the revenue picks up as we progress into the year? Like FY25, again, we are going to see the same thing. The Q1 is going to be slower and then it will pick up more from Q2 onwards?
Typically, that's the cycle. This is a little bit more cyclical for us in terms of how our contracts are or, you know, how the business is won. Usually, we have seen that Q3, Q4 end up being heavier for us than, you know, Q1, Q2. Typically, there is a sort of a business cycle, but we are in a refresh cycle, a business cycle. So we are aligned to budget cycles of our clients, right? So that happens, but I think net-net you will see that, you know, net-net I'm hoping that, you know, by the time we are sitting next year this time, but we would have reported, you know, much more than what we have been able to report this year. At least that's definitely the effort of the company. And I speak for everyone who's on the call. You know, I have quite a few colleagues I'm seeing that are on the call today with me from Suvex, and I know that, you know, all of us want to do the best that we can right now.
Sure, I appreciate that. One more point about, are we planning any, road shows, analyst meets, or institutional investor meets?
Yes, we
are. Get more interest into this, because that's not seen in so many years. So are we planning that in coming years?
I am. And you can imagine why we were not planning it right earlier, because you want to show some growth, right? It's only even interesting to analysts if you have something to show. So what we wanted to do last year was to buckle down and say that, we'll put our head down and work first and, make sure that the numbers start looking decent. When the numbers are there, then it makes sense to actually hit the road and do some analyst, roadshows and all that. So very much on the cards this year, which I want to pick up, in a quarter from now, we want to pick up that activity. So absolutely, that's on to do. But I wanted to deliver first a little bit. So I think now we have something to talk about and we'll do that.
Oh, that would be great. And my last question is about the headcount. Are we seeing that the recruitment is going to be happening more going forward? And is there any annual increments already planned for the next quarter, or is already done for the year?
No, our annual increment cycle is June, July, actually. So it will happen. And the end of this quarter, beginning of next quarter is the annual increment cycle for us. So that is planned, obviously. That's something that we have to do. And like I said also, initially, right, we are in a very tough talent market in Bangalore. So that's almost a non-negotiable. We have to do increments. In terms of talent, I think we hire as we need. But where we are, I feel that we are quite well-staffed, honestly speaking. I don't think we are lacking any, major, we have major gaps in our headcount and all that. I don't see it right now. So we should more or less remain the same.
Sure. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you, and wishing you all the best. I'll be back in the queue.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Mahesh Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Nisha, this question is related to your just called 2024-25 as a breakout year. What is your investment required in this breakout year to have that exponential growth? That is first question. Second question is, in the presentation, is it possible to give more detail about ID Central and Sectrio? Because not much information is shared about those products. And are you going to enhance or totally redefine Sectrio with GenAI? These are the questions.
Okay. So first question on investment required, we have actually done the budgeting for this year already, and we have taken the, investment calls on which products need to be beefed up and all that. So as you can imagine, investment is needed. We are a product company. It's not a services business. And in product, you need to invest on, product roadmaps, engineering, hardware engineering. So, and, if you are doing AI products, then you need to invest in those technologies. So investment is something that will go hand in hand with this. But despite the investments that we have to make, I hope to, keep a, decent bottom line, actually. So we are making sure that, even if we have investments, we kind of make those calls as and when we need, and we still are able to preserve bottom line. But you're absolutely right. I mean, some of the investments actually started happening last year itself. Because there's time to investment to what actually, when you get the benefit of it, right? So.
Yeah. Because when you need money, you will not immediately get the money. So you have to plan for that capital in advance.
Absolutely. So budgeting is done. Actually, the budgeting cycle started December for us for this year, actually.
So you have all the money required.
For now, I have. And again, I would say that everyone can use more money. So I will not say that, can I use more money? Yes, I can use more money. But at least to deliver what I need to deliver this year, I have the capital. I have the investment.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
So that's the part, and then
first question.
I think
second question is for regarding this presentation.
Correct. So the reason why we have we stopped doing honestly the Sectrio and IDC is because I thought that it's still comparatively smaller parts of our business. So that's why we weren't reporting them separately. And to me, in console we are anyways reporting everything together. And we were reporting them separately when they were new initiatives. Now I feel that they are not new initiatives anymore in the sense that, they are 5-year-old. So we report them as console now. That's why we have stopped reporting it separately because it's significant enough, right?
If you added new customers in Sectrio in the quarter, that you can just mention 5 customers are added.
So we get the feeling that what's happening, whether business is growing, not growing, that idea investors are getting.
Okay, got it. Yeah, sure. I'll take that as a note. I'll make that as a note. In terms of Gen AI on Sectio IDC, I think actually, we have been working on Gen AI in our fraud and core product portfolio. I don't have an immediate response to this. IDC, not immediately, because, you know, that already uses Gen AI in terms of, you know, deep scan and facial recognition technologies and all that. So there is no amount that's already happening on IDC. Sectio, I'm not entirely sure. So I'll have to get back to you on that.
But on this firewall and all those intrusion detection, people are using Gen AI currently.
Okay. I will actually do that. Let me actually get back to you on this one.
Yeah, I mean, exponential growth for Sectio is possible if Gen AI is included.
Okay. I think you are right, but let me also talk to that business leader actually on what his plans are. I don't have it entirely handy right now, but we'll circle back with you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. That would be the last question for the day. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference call today. Thank you for your participation and for using Doorsabha's conference call service. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a good day.